Okay, want to thank the men that went with us and helped out. We had a great time. There's four of our men, and had a blast. You saw a picture. A bunch more men were there. We had groups from Louisiana, Texas, Warsaw, Osceola, Hermitage, Camdenton. I think I'm forgetting one. Anyhow, we had a great time. And I think that was the first one I mentioned. They were a little hard to understand. If you're checking us out, please don't take offense. But I loved every second of it, though, as far as that was, and had a blast working next to some great men and people that love Jesus and were willing to take time to build the kingdom. What a blessing. I want to shift gears here, and Jim Summers, I want to thank you, Jim, for over 30 years of faithful service helping in the sound. He said he would like to step down from that, and we're just so thankful for, am I right, 30 years? That's a long time. Now, watch how you word that. So, yeah, sure. Well, Jim, we appreciate you. Thank you for such faithful service for so many years. We are honored, and we honor the Lord for that. Okay, I said I'd tell you what happened here. I was done working Thursday night, as some of you know. My wife got a phone call that her grandpa was not doing well, and we went up to the city to see him and to say our goodbyes. Many of you know he passed that evening, that night, in the middle of the night, and so I rushed away from Camdenton, the work site there, to go and catch up with Emily and the kids, to go and see her grandfather. And so I left a few tools that they were using there in Camdenton. So Friday we were back home, and I went back to get that. I wasn't doing any work. I just was going to get those tools and kind of say a few goodbyes. So I went there. Each night they'd throw a bunch of the tools in this one trailer, this work trailer. So I went in that trailer to see if any of my stuff got in there, and that way I didn't lose it. Not that they were trying to steal it from me, but just might have been misplaced. So I went and searched through that trailer. There was none of my stuff in there. Well, to get up in there that day, the end of the trailer was a little higher than normal, and somebody had made a little step for it. I used it to step up in there, and again, I didn't find anything of mine. So I went to step out, and as I did, I stepped on that step, and I stepped too far out, and that step just rolled. And so I went to catch myself like this whenever I fell, and so they took an X-ray, said I broke a carpal bone. That's one there, one of those round-ish bones at your wrist. So that's what's up with this silly thing. But I'm believing the Lord. I'm believing the Lord to heal this. Even if not, you know what? There's probably some things I get to learn through it. So I'm going to rejoice anyway. And it does make a little bit more difficult. So if the Lord does not heal it, it's a little harder for me to text. So don't expect long texts from me. Okay, that sort of thing. So this morning, I'm excited about the Word of God. I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at a next step for all of us, really. And some of you have begun to do this. Others, we're all working on this one, but we're really going to kind of cover several things as we look through verses 17 through 22. And here, Peter writes and he says, "And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites." Who do we pray to? Do we pray to the wall? Do we pray to the ceiling? Sometimes I know, and it's okay if you've been there or if you're there right now, sometimes when we pray, it feels like it doesn't get above the ceiling. Why is that? I think there could be like probably a bajillion reasons. One of those could be that the enemy just wants to deceive you. The other could be that sometimes God feels far off, doesn't he? But he's not. We have to learn not to go on our emotions only. We have to go on what God's word says, and God's word says that he's there. He sticks closer than a brother, doesn't he? And so when we feel that way, when it seems that he is far off and he's not hearing our prayers, and that the ceiling, some have said before, the ceiling is brass, and our prayers don't seem to go any past the ceiling, that's not the truth. That's not the truth, because my God knows everything. My God can do everything. Amen? Remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. That's encouraging. One, that is not an if you pray, that's a when you pray, right? In other words, if you're not praying much, pick up the pace. Okay, get with the program, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. Get with the program. Let's seek the Lord. Let's pray. That's how we communicate with God. Prayer is simply talking with God, but it's also listening. There's times where we need to slow down. We need to listen. And let him download things into us. And he has no favorites. It says, remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. That excites me. Because Moses went up the mountain and was there with God for like 40 days. And then, if I didn't get the story wrong, there was noise down at the bottom of the mountain. They were worshiping a golden calf. He comes down, redirects everybody, brings correction, and then goes back up for another 40 days. So in other words, what I'm saying is Moses had this like really intimate relationship with God. But my Bible says that God doesn't show any favorites. He doesn't show favoritism. He doesn't have, he wants me to be that way. He wants you to be that way with him, intimate with him, walking in a personal relationship with him. Then I'm reminded of Elijah. A mountain was involved again. What mountain is in your way? But Elijah stood up against all the false worship, against the false gods. Matter of fact, there was 450 of their prophets. And Elijah said, get them all rounded up. Come on up here. And today we're going to find out whose God is really God. Elijah prayed and said, God, they made a sacrifice. Both groups made sacrifice. And Elijah let them go first. Nothing happened. Because the stipulation was the God who answers by fire is the real and true God. And Elijah says, lets them do their thing. And nothing happens when they pray. Nothing happens when they make their sacrifice. But when Elijah prayed, when Elijah made a sacrifice, and he said, oh, Lord, answer from heaven with fire today. Whoosh! Fire consumed not only the sacrifice, but all the water that he poured on it. Elijah didn't want there to be any confusion. No, all that wood was wet. Don't let your wood be wet. Don't let your wood be wet. Let the Holy Spirit ignite a fire in you. It's real easy when we get consumed by the things of the world. You know, that everyday stuff. But what ought to consume us is our relationship with the Lord. He will judge or reward you according to what you do. Look at that. So some are going to get judged. and some are going to get rewarded. Which one do you want? I know which one you want. We want to be rewarded. You know what? It's a pretty cool thing if you ask me, because God saves us. He redeems us. He calls us. He does things through us, and then he's going to reward us for doing what he led us to do. Isn't that great? So let him lead us. Let him lead you and to do great, wonderful things that would honor him. Okay? If we don't, guess what? We will be judged for not doing what he asked us to do. That does not sound pleasant. But I believe that he wants to reward. I believe he wants, you know, can you wait to hear, well done, good and faithful servant? It's going to be awesome. Peter goes on, he says, so you must live in reverent fear of him, in reverent fear of God during your time here as temporary residents. Talking about the fear of the Lord, I mentioned this a little bit last Sunday. The fear of the Lord, Proverbs tells us the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing God, it's not like you think, and let me try to help bring some understanding here and clarification. Some people think that God is getting ready to squish them any moment that they do something wrong. That is not how I believe God operates. There, we know here, we just read it, he is going to judge, but we're to live with the understanding, reverent understanding, that God is God and we are not. We need to learn to live with that kind of a mentality, that kind of a mindset. So when we live with that kind of a mindset where we know that God is more powerful than us and that in the end he's got the final say, he's the final authority, then guess what? We will learn, that alone will teach us, I need to listen to what he tells me to do. I need to find out what his word says. I need to know what it says and then live accordingly. I need to honor him and obey him. That's what the fear of the Lord will teach us, to honor God in everything, to understand who he is, to draw near to him, to know what he says. How do we know what God says? Well, he gave us the Bible. It's his holy word. We need to devour it. And that's a good thing. That means kind of soak it in, you know, not damage it, but to let it feed our soul, you know, like you're going to do this afternoon with your roast or whatever. You're going to devour that. We're going to devour the word of God. So we got to live in reverent fear of God during our time here on the earth. But guess what? What does he say? What does he say we are? We're temporary residents here. That was why it was kind of cool that the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, that was a good, they understood that they were just passing through. They were on their way somewhere. So is the Christian today. We're on our way somewhere. And that place is called the Promised Land. We're on our way to heaven, okay? And so we cannot get too tied up in the affairs of this world, huh? Oh, I know that there's things that we all have to do every single day, that and many of those things God has called us to do, but let's not allow those things to keep us here, grounded here. We want to be grounded in him and looking forward to that day, because otherwise what could happen, it could be kind of like Lot's wife. But I like the world too much. You hear me? I want the world. And she looked back when leaving the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. When she left that city, the angel said, do not look back. I'm getting you out of here. We got to go right now. It's getting ready to start. You have to leave right now. Forget everything else. And matter of fact, don't look back. And as they're getting out of town, I mean literally out of town, she's looking back. She looks back as if her heart was really there. I love what this place has to offer me. But what does this world have to offer us, saint? What does this world have to offer us really at all? Oh, let me remind you. Disease, death, sin, sorrow, nothing that we really want. Oh, okay, popularity, fame, wealth. Those leave us empty because it's not what we were created for. For other people to like us is not what we were created for. We were created to know God. We were created. You were created to worship God and to enjoy Him forever. Isn't that awesome? So, we're temporary residents right here. I love living in Warsaw. Matter of fact, I got asked that a lot last week when we were around people from out of state. John, you probably got asked a bunch of times that as well. Chuck, you probably did as well. So, yeah, I'm from Warsaw. I mean, we love it in Warsaw. But this place is not my ultimate home. It's not. This is not where we're going to end up and where we're going to be forever. Aren't you glad? Because guess what? Moths destroy. Rust destroys here. But where we're going, it doesn't. Isn't that exciting? Praise God. So we are to continue to pray and remember that God doesn't have any favorites. We are to understand that God is going to either judge or reward us according to what we do. Now listen. On that note, let me back up to that a moment longer. I believe that God is going to judge or reward, and we need to make sure that we get this crystal clear. He's not going to reward you or judge you based on what somebody else did and what God called them to do. God is not going to judge you and compare you to Billy Graham. You have a different calling than Billy Graham. He's not going to call you and reward you or judge you based on what He called me to do. And He's not going to judge or reward me based on what He's called you to do. Right? So it's not a comparison. It's not, well, I'm not as good as so-and-so, but I'm better than that person. It's not about that. What is Jesus asking me to do? We are to follow Him every single step of the way. We are to obey Him. We are to do what He leads us to do, whatever that is, whatever that means. Okay? And we can't get that misunderstood. We're supposed to also, says you must live in reverent fear of Him. Let's learn to fear the Lord, because really it's the beginning of wisdom, and it will continue. Then the fear of the Lord will lend toward more wisdom and more wisdom and more wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? And so we also understand that we are only temporary residents here. On the next slide, verse 18. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you. This is what we mean when we say, are you saved? It's a question that outsiders don't necessarily understand yet. And if you're an outsider and you do not know God yet, my goal is to help you to learn to understand what that means. And here, this verse helps us with that. You know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. Guess what? Every one of us was born into that. It's called the fall. We can thank Adam and Eve. But don't be too judgmental, because you and I probably would have done the same thing if it would have been us. Adam and Eve, they fell. They disobeyed God, and therefore brought death, brought sin, and even sickness and disease into our world. And each one of us was born then into a sinful nature that we inherited from our ancestors. Every generation was born into it since Adam and Eve. But here at the first part, he says, you know that God paid a ransom to save you from that empty life, from that sinful life that you were born into. God paid a ransom, and that ransom cost Him dearly. That ransom was His own Son, Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful for what Jesus does for us? I'm so great. We are eternally grateful for what Christ has done for us. We will get to spend eternity not paying it back, but just praising Him for it. Right? What a wonderful thing. I love reading in Revelation when it comes to said there. He was worthy to open the scroll. There was one who was worthy, and His name is Jesus. He is the one who ransomed you and me. In other words, you see, there's this thing called holiness. And God is holy. And in our sinfulness, we're not. But you see, Jesus, as God's Son, He came to this planet. He came to this earth that He created and served those He created by ultimately going to that cross as without sin, without imperfection. Jesus embraced the cross. He took it for you and I because, again, there was a holiness, there was a standard, God's holiness. Romans tells us that we all fall short of God's glory. In other words, God wants us to be up here, but we've all fallen short of that because we all were born into that sinful nature and we all chose to sin. Jesus, on the other hand, He didn't. He didn't. Even when he was angry and He was rolling over tables and tossing chairs, He did that with a purpose, and that was to bring correction because there was something wrong going on in the house of God at the time. And here, Jesus comes and He lives this perfect and sinless life, all to appease the righteousness, that holiness of God. You see, we had fallen short, but Jesus, He went to be a bridge, and He brought man back to the Father like this. Isn't that awesome? It's a wonderful thing. And that's what Christ did on the cross. He ransomed us. He stepped in as our substitute where it should have been you and I that died. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who took our place on that cross. It should have been us. It should have been us taking the nails and the whips and the beating and death. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ. And for that, we're eternally grateful. So God paid a ransom. That ransom was His Son. He paid the ransom to save us from an empty life that leads to hell. You see, and it was not paid with mere gold, which lose their value, gold or silver. Money can't buy salvation. You can't give enough to the church. I can't give you salvation. I can point you to it, but it's the Lord's to give. And I believe it's available to every single person, no matter what you've done. That's what I believe. Paul was persecuting Christians. He was trying to arrest them, or worse. He was there when a young man named Stephen was martyred. They stoned this young man. Paul, who wrote almost 2/3 of the New Testament, he was right there, basically giving his approval. Holding their robes, their outer robes, so they could throw a little harder maybe. We can't earn salvation. It's not bought. It's given. Because God loves us. But you see, gold and silver lose their value. And in verse 19, here it says, It was with the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, that we were saved, ransomed, and redeemed. Okay? And the blood of Christ, guess what? It doesn't lose its power. It doesn't lose its value. Go ahead and go back to the previous one, the end of that one. Look at what it says at the bottom. Gold and silver lose their value. Next one. It was the precious blood of Christ that doesn't lose its power. Okay? Are you with me so far? The blood does not lose its power. In other words, it still is as powerful today as it was when the day Jesus rose from the grave. It's as powerful now as it was then. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It truly doesn't. What matters is the direction of your heart. Are you going to acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord? Are you going to acknowledge that God is holy and want to go toward Him? Or are you going to continue to go away from Him? That's what it boils down to. See, I believe that the blood of Christ is more than enough, way more than enough, to forgive and cleanse us of any sin. Any sin. Listen, I when I was in Bible school, I remember we watched some videos about this guy named I think his first name was David Berkowitz. I think it was David Berkowitz. He was into witchcraft, and he had murdered many people. He gets caught and arrested, put in prison, and rightly so. He found Christ in prison. And I remember the president of the Bible school that I attended, and he wanted to go and meet with this David Berkowitz. And he met with him. And he came back and he said, I believe he truly has a relationship with Jesus. That excited my soul, because it doesn't matter what we've done. It doesn't. Those things aren't good, but guess what? We know Romans tells us, Paul wrote in Romans, that everybody has sinned. Everybody has. That's why, and we're going to look at it here in another verse or two, that's why Jesus had to come. And God established a plan, and he went through with it. It wasn't just an idea. He went through with the plan, and that was to redeem mankind. I love it. So here in verse 19, it says that Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's the sinless and the spotless Lamb of God, without blemish. You know, excuse me, back in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were to bring an offering, a sacrifice, can you imagine how easy it would be? Now, they're usually when they took up an offering, it wasn't money. They would bring to God a lamb or something like that. Can you imagine how easy it would be, or how tempting it would be to say, well, I'm going to go ahead and give this lame one to God. I can't use it anyhow, and it's ugly. Here, God. Can you see how that would be inappropriate? That one's blind. It can't see. It runs into things all the time and runs off of cliffs. And I'll just give that one to God. No. God said, no, you're not to give these sacrifices that have blemishes. They need to be worthy sacrifices. Otherwise, it's not a sacrifice, right? And so Jesus, he wasn't one. God didn't give the second best for us. He gave his only son, first best. The sinless and the spotless, without blemish, Lamb of God. And he didn't sin. He lived a life that was without sin. I love it. It's amazing. I praise God for it. And let's look at the next verse. He goes on to say, God chose him, that's Jesus. God chose Jesus as your ransom. Look at this. Long before the world began, way before mankind was here. Isn't that incredible? God chose him as your ransom long before the world began. But now, in these last days, he has been revealed for your sake. I don't know. I like that Peter right there used in these last days. If Peter was in the last days, what do you think we're in? Oh, but pastors have been saying that for generations. I know, but just keep ready. Stay ready, right? Stay ready. It doesn't mean that any of them were lying. What it means is we don't know when he's coming, but we know he is coming. Where this place is not our home, we're going to be shipped on out of here. If you're ready. If not, you get to stay and get ready. And it won't be the same. You see, God chose Christ as our ransom, as our way of salvation. He chose Christ as our substitute. I'm going to send one that's going to pay the penalty that you incurred. I got one who's going to pay that penalty. He's going to take care of it. Then we'll be even. We'll be good. Sometimes we'll go eat a bite to get a bite to eat, and he always loves to pay. And so sometimes we've literally like done tug of war over the bill, and the few times that I was able to get it was quick enough or strong enough or whatever, I'd say, I owe you anyhow. He said, don't think like that. He says, I'm not keeping track. The Lord's going to judge or he's going to reward. He doesn't want to keep track. But according to his holiness, he's got to. He's got to. But you see, whenever we get it under the precious blood that doesn't lose its power, our sins, whenever we get the sins washed in the blood, he cleanses us from that, and he makes us brand new, and he washes us, he cleanses us, and that stuff is all gone. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us this is, it's as far away as the east is from the west. Matter of fact, God says, I choose to remember it no more. That's gone. It's gone. Everybody say goodbye. So, he revealed Christ in these last days in verse 21. Through Christ, you have come to trust in God. Praise God. Because of Jesus, we have learned to trust in God. And you have placed your faith and hope in God because he raised Christ from the dead and gave him great glory. That's true, isn't it? We know, we believe that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Not only did he die, but he was raised from the dead. He didn't stay dead. He conquered death. He defeated it, and it couldn't have any more hold on him. And because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we believe in God. And we believe in God more wholeheartedly because of what God did through Christ. See, Jesus brought glory to the Father. And we have a relationship with God because of Christ. Back to Jesus being the bridge. He brings us back together. That's what someone who helps reconcile does. That person is kind of an in-between, and they say, oh, well, it looks to me like there's a simple solution. And can you apologize to each other, you know? And so, which God didn't have to apologize because he didn't do anything wrong. But then the mediator, Jesus Christ, brings us back into right relationship and helps us with that relationship between God the Father. And then in verse 22, it says, you were cleansed from your sins. Everybody said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. Man, when you decided that it was right to follow what God says. So now, look at this. And you saw the title. The next step is this. Wherever you are in the journey, whether it just happened or whether it happened a long time ago, this is still a next step for each one of us. You were cleansed from your sins when you obeyed the truth. So now you must show sincere love to each other as brothers and sisters. Isn't that awesome? The next step, now you must show love to each other as brothers and sisters. And you know, elsewhere in the scripture it says that the world will know us by our love for one another. We're called to love each other like brothers and sisters. And you know what brothers and sisters can do? That's not where I was going with that, but they can get on the phone and call their brother or their sister and say, I need you. Can you come over? Right? Yeah, brothers and sisters can fight. My poor little brother. I'm glad he breathes grace to me now. If he needs me, I can go and help. If I need him, he comes and helps me. Are you with me? Look around the room. Look at your brothers and sisters. Take a little gander around. Your brothers and sisters around the room. You were called to love them. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what they did to me that one time. You don't know what they said. Shh. Hush. Learn to be like God. Forget that. Oh, man, this is good preaching, Pastor. This is good preaching. It's easier said than done, though, isn't it? You know what? We would all do really, really well to overlook every time that we can and choose to give them the benefit of the doubt you know what, they probably didn't mean it like that. And then it doesn't get in its claws in our heart when we say, you know what, I'm going to believe in them. I'm going to believe that, yeah, it came out a little bit gruff, but I'm going to believe that that's not what they meant. Can you hear me this morning? Is that making sense? Let's love each other. And again, Jesus said we're not just to love those who love us. He said we're supposed to love those who don't do well to us, those who harm us. He sure did. Because really, if you look at it in reality, you and I were the ones that nailed him to the cross. We didn't exactly pick up the hammer and the nail, but we're the ones that put him on that cross, weren't we? And doesn't he love us? Absolutely. There's no doubt about it. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone to the cross. Love propelled him to that cross. Love motivated him to go to the cross. Love allowed him and even forced him to give up his life. But he did it willingly because of love. Look at the next line. Love each other deeply with all your heart. This is a love with actions, isn't it? Love each other deeply with all your